Mia, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Let me introduce you. I was blessed to come to some of your events in Topanga, where you hosted this really beautiful artist market, creators market, and so I followed you on Instagram because of that. And then come 2020, obviously we were all looking for news, looking for information. And I felt, and I'd like to talk to you about this as well, but I felt like I went through actually quite a lot of disappointment and grief because a lot of the people that I thought would be awake to what was happening actually weren't presenting the information that I was kind of, into and looking for. And yours was one of the accounts that really stood out to me, that I really felt like there was a voice that I really resonated with. You were really seeing what was going on, but also holding a lot of light and a lot of truth and a lot of clarity. And that's how I've always felt about this time that we're in since 2020, that this is the birthing of something wonderful and something amazing. And it's been hard to find voices that see it with that light and that clarity and that positivity. So I've really enjoyed your content. And then when I found you had a Telegram channel, I joined that because I'm trying to be off Instagram. I'm trying to not be on Instagram. So I really enjoy your Telegram content. So maybe you could start with this, just telling us, because obviously it's really a big part of what you do is to connect people and bring people together. So maybe you could start with telling us about Mercado Sagrado and how you came to do that and why connecting people is important to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's also just wonderful to hear. And I'll also talk about just these wild times too. But yeah, I so appreciate that that's how you found me and that it resonates. That means so much to me. Because yeah, when you're operating online, it's so different. You kind of just kind of throwing stuff out there and you don't really know how things are landing always. And really the part of the initial thing about starting Mercado Sagrado was that it was kind of the beginning of Instagram land and people starting to connect online. And I could see that, there was a lot of new connections happening, but I was kind of a latecomer to that and I wasn't sure how I felt about it. And I also just felt that things started to get pulled on there and it felt really important to get people together in person. And so I had gone on my own journey, being kind of in photography and in the art world and living in New York and then going to live on a mountain in Taos for a year and totally stepping away and giving myself kind of my own kind of recalibration year on in an Earthship on a mountain in Taos, and then moving to Topanga and kind of feeling like I was still living on a mountain there, but there was, the city was adjacent. You could dip into that. I was kind of just figuring out what I was doing because I loved that kind of mountain nature life, but I wanted to be, or I was just pulled by life to be closer to kind of more culture, and create, I think, Mercado Sagrado really, because I got there and it had been kind of something that had been germinating. And then I made friends with Carly, a dear friend of mine from Topanga. And we started the event together, and it was just like, so many different things. We're both Geminis. We have so many passions. She's an artist. I'm kind of an artist too. She had a little gallery for a while called The Sacred Door. She'd lived in South America for a long time. So we had all these passions, and we're both just natural connectors and are friends with so many different kinds of people and have so many passions. I've always been into, and she's been into like holistic health too, and kind of just on a truth journey, I guess, throughout my entire life. And so I've always kind of been friends with all different kinds of people. So I would be, even when I was living in New York City, I'd be like going out to Long Island to go to some like obscure meditation with one of the 13 crystal skulls. That one was Max, and doing this thing. And everybody there would be like in their 70s. And then there'd be like me, and I'd try to get friends to go. And they're like, I don't know, that's like kind of weird. And it wouldn't be like branded cool or anything. It was just kind of, I was on my own little path. So there were so many things that we just were passionate about that we wanted to kind of put all together and share with our friends, including just spending time in nature and getting people to Topanga, because in Topanga it can be a little isolating if you don't create your own community. You're like, I'm like living on a mountain. I could hike from my house every day. It's so magical, but there's not like gather, especially at that time. This was in 2014. There weren't really like a lot of gathering spaces, and there wasn't a lot of community events happening. So, and also at that time, like wellness and Wellness wasn't a word yet, really. It was more like holistic health culture and like yoga. There was yoga culture, and there were definitely people into these things, but it was all kind of like on the fringe, and none of it was that pretty. So also coming from a, from like a, you know, doing photography and not totally fitting into that world, because the, you know, the, you're getting the high-end photography jobs, then it's either like high fashion or, you know, maybe you get like a Coca-Cola campaign or something. And I was like, I don't want to use my, you know, skills on making things look beautiful to honor and lift up these gross companies. So a lot of things weren't in alignment there, but I did love to create beauty. And I was kind of, I've always been kind of a natural curator too. So I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but it was like all of these different kind of disparate ideas. We wanted to just bring it together, bring all our artist friends together, get people off Instagram and, you know, in person hanging out and get them. And a lot of the people at our first event had never met in person. So it was like such a, it was such a like, just kind of like a creative explosion, especially with that first one, because at that time, you know, my friend launched her aura photography thing at our event, and that hadn't been known yet. You know, like I would go and do that at this little tiny place in New York or this place in Venice, but it wasn't like a thing people knew about yet, really. So, you know, my friend Christina, she launched her aura photography business. We had a really cool palm reader. We were just bringing in like esoteric arts and kind of mixing that in with the creative arts in a way that wasn't happening at that time. It was a little bit like weird. But it really was the right timing, because it brought all these people together that had, I think it's just, you know, I think we're in another period of that where like there's all these new energies kind of germinating, but people are still, you know, people are shifting their frequency and they haven't all connected with like their soul fam in that level yet. So it was kind of like that perfect period to get everybody together. And then since then, it's like there were relationships and new babies that have come out of that, and like new businesses, and like, so like a lot of the people that were starting them, like Sun Potion is one of them, like Scott's whole business took off and it's a whole thing. It was a lot of just a new ideas and new ways of working with not necessarily like new, you know, things like that stuff had already existed, but kind of like a renaissance of it in a sense. So, but yeah, huge part of it is like getting people in person, connecting, building community. And we just wanted to do it in nature, and we wanted to do it in the way that, that was, authentic to us. So it was also just as simple as like, if we're going to invite someone to our house for dinner, we're not going to feed them swaggy food. We want to offer them like organic, amazing food. So we wanted the food to be amazing and really wholesome, and the music and just everything. So it was really, in a way, just kind of simple and natural at that time. It just was kind of the right moment, and really turned into something really, really beautiful, I think. So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question well, but...
I think you had to be there to experience it, because it, like you mentioned, it was outdoors. It was just, it was kind of like a festival, but without camping almost.
Yeah, I mean, we that's still in like we still want to do that. It's just part of what we learned was, especially that in that area, like in Topanga and the Malibu Mountains, it's really tricky to get locations. So we just, I think we were so passionate about it and so inspired, we just made it happen. But I talked to, you know, I have a dear friend who's like a massive event producer, and he's like, oh yeah, I can't, it's hard, really hard to get locations over there. You just kind of can't get the permit. So, so like we've always had certain, you know, parameters that were just like with the space, working in a national park space, we would love to have everybody sleep over, but you know, we haven't been able to do that yet because of certain parameters. And I think also as far as like, it's hard because festival is just, it's like a word that's commonly used, but I grew up going to raving and going to different festivals and things, and it feels so different to me too. But on the surface, it's sort of not, it is kind of like you have to be there because it's kind of a vibe. And I think also that we didn't include alcohol. It's not really about substances, and it's not to say we're against that. It's not about that. We just didn't bring that into it. And so at the core frequency, it's very like all inclusive in a way that it's like everybody and anybody, kids, older people, like we want everybody to feel comfortable. It always has felt, even though if it's a bigger event, like kids can run around and like have their own whole world, and it's totally been so safe for them. People are super respectful after our after the second event we did, which was a lot bigger. There was nobody even left trash. It was just, it was really interesting. So I think it's just about maybe just the intentions we set, and then yeah, having some small differences. It felt different, at least to us, than other things we've been to. And I guess that's like what we were looking to create, because growing up with all that stuff, there at that point, there weren't a lot of events that I felt really drawn to. Like, I didn't feel drawn to go to Burning Man. I didn't feel drawn to go to, you know, anything much. So it's kind of like, you know, that thing of, if you're not inspired, then just do it, you know, create your own thing. So which we did our best. Yeah.
So take us into 2020. Were you awake to the narrative straight away? And how was that process for you of realizing that you were kind of one of the lone voices that were really, especially, I feel like, because, you know, we're saying I've got a lot of friends in LA, and I feel like that was a place where there was a lot of pressure to follow the narrative, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the truth be told is because of just who I am, I've always felt a little bit like an outlier. And I have been someone who's kind of been friends with everybody and a little bit like social, a bit a loner. So I always had a little bit of distance from things, and I grew up questioning everything. So when it got to that point of, you know, going, oh, this is starting, like something's starting, I because I knew about Agenda 21, I knew about I just was fully awake to the inversion in this realm, I'll call it that way. Like, I was fully awake, and part of even you know, part of my deep passion for doing the event is like, it's much deeper for me. It's because I had become awake early on to the inversion. I further wanted to support just everything that was wholesome and pure and innocent in this world, because I saw what, you know, I saw that there was an agenda to squash that out. And of course that comes out in like so many, it's in everything. It's a full, you know, it's been a full agenda, from our food to how children come into the world at birth, to the hospitals, the Western medical system, the trafficking, the ritual satanic abuse. I mean, I really went really deep. So I was like fully aware. And then I had an experience where I had these visions about this time now that we're going through. And all my life, I felt like I was sort of like leading up to something, like waiting for something. And now I'm like, okay, it's this time. It's like ascension. Like, I get it. Like, okay, it's all making sense. So I didn't, you know, obviously you don't know what it is you're going along, but I was already putting all those pieces together. And I had the vision that, like, and this was maybe 2017, I had this vision, or 16, and it, I think it's 16. And it was like, that everything, because I had a moment of like deep concern of like, wait a minute, am I supposed to be bringing people together and doing these events, or am I actually supposed to be working with people one-on-one that have gone through this trauma? You know, I was trying to figure out like what my role was, and it was a clear message of like, nope, you're meant to help people bring ground the vibration of joy. There's a lot of people that are going to be holding this frequency of where we're going. I'll just say the new earth, even though it wasn't languaged exactly like that. And so I really got it, and I was like, okay. And I kind of figured out internally how to orient myself so that I felt like I was living my purpose, and I wasn't, you know, just bypassing what was happening. Like, so with full awareness, I was doing the event, even with the curation, with the lectures and everything. But at that time, I was kind of trying to do it a bit more softly. I was thinking like, okay, well, you know, like, for, you can have a talk about, you know, chemtrails or all the scary things, or you can have a talk about like cloudbusters and like the solutions to the things and try to inspire people. And in the same time, you are like telling them kind of what's been going on, but you're really like presenting like a solution and like the positive way that we can all move forward. So that was always my philosophy. So going into 2020, it was like, as soon as that started, I was like, oh, okay. So this is, first, I was thinking, this is how they're going to try to start rolling out all their crazy plans that I've known was kind of like on the, you know, slowly moving along on the back channels. And I had already, I was already really clear about how I felt about the Western medical system and allopathic medicine. I'd opted out of it for the most part. I don't really use it, that system, anymore. I use holistic systems. If I had a child, I would not get them any, you know, of the shots or anything like that. So I was already really clear on that. So I think because of that, it was really easy for me to see what was going on right away. But that's traumatic. It was traumatic because it's not really fun to be the person who sees when a lot of people don't, because it's triggering everybody's like deepest fears, right? And you're like, you want to help people and you want to protect them. But if people aren't ready to look at that, then they're going to be triggered. They're going to get angry at you. They're going to be mean. They're going to be dismissive. So I would say I even went through a bit of like trauma and growth around that in like, I guess it was early COVID when the like Black Lives Matter stuff happened. There was a lot of, I feel like frequency, sort of warring in a sense. There's a lot of, going on in a sense on social media and things like that. So I had to work through some stuff at that time and figure out like, okay, how am I going to move forward? How am I going to, operate seeing everything that's happening, kind of what the system is trying to do to people. And through that, I got pretty clear. And it was really painful at sometimes because there were certain people in my life that we didn't fully agree about mode of operation at that point. And I had to be comfortable just kind of letting the chips fall where they may and following my heart. So after a difficult sort of, you know, portal, I just decided like, okay, I'm going to be, I just can be who I am and I'm going to share the way I share. And I'm still going to try to do it, holding the vision of like where we're going, which I knew was really positive. But, you know, like you're sharing that at a time when people are angry and in fear, and sometimes they don't want to hear the positive. So that was really hard, you know, people are mad and they get mean, they get triggered, but you just kind of get stronger. And the more you do that, and this is what I tell anybody who's going through this, like the more you just speak your truth and you know, if you know it's true and you stand in it and you speak it, like the people that also are on that frequency are going to, they're going to find you like the way we found each other. They're going to be magnetically drawn to you. And then all of a sudden you have a new support system and it's not so scary. And then you realize that the people who don't want to come along, like that's okay. That's just where they're at. They're on their own journey. So I don't feel bad about that, but I also don't feel torn about it either. It just becomes easier. I will say it was really, it's really kind of sad and hard to see what happened though, a lot to the holistic community, because so many people out of fear did something that they didn't want to do with their body and have gone through a lot of trauma because of it. And that's just like, of course, like heartbreaking to watch and also heartbreaking to see them trying really hard at that time to influence other people to do the same thing. So it was heartbreaking, you know?
Well, thank you for your strength and your resilience. One of the things I love about your content, then you just kind of touched on it, is that there's a lot of people talking about New Earth and 5D and ascension and all this stuff, but your content is very much based on like the practical way that we get there. So it's not so, I mean, it is esoteric, obviously, because it has to be at this point, but it's very much grounded in like the practicalities of the pathway into that. So maybe I can ask you your views and understandings on some of these topics, like maybe the financial system. What do you see happening with the financial system?
Yeah, totally. I think that's the thing. I think we're on this earth, and as much as sometimes I want to like pop out of my body, I mean, I was a drug addict when I was young, so I've dealt with, I've worked through my own wanting to kind of like lift off and just not be here, and decided, okay, that's not the way. So it's all about, and that's even like what the Mercado Sagrado symbols mean. It's like kind of like, you know, reaching. Oh, I guess it's like your top and your bottom chakra, you know, it's kind of like reaching up there, but also staying grounded and earthing and kind of like being, being in this realm where we are. And like, what does that mean? And how can we operate in the highest way, the most expansive way where we are? So that means like stuff like I do see that I do feel that we are going to, part of my vision, we're going to end up in a space eventually where money isn't the same, where we don't even deal with money in the same way, because I don't think it's a human concept in the way that it's been. I think it's like something that's been placed on us as a slave system. So I can hold that in my mind and know that. and know where I want to go, where we're not even dealing with it, but there's like a pathway to get there. And I think we're kind of walking into a point that's going to be a bridge to that. And that's okay. Like, that's what it is. So I can embrace that. And what I understand is happening, and this is part from my intuition and then part intel from somebody that I know working behind the scenes on the new financial system. And I think that I even connected with that information because maybe around 3 years ago, I was really asking deeply spirit to guide me about abundance and to help me understand more and tune into more what was happening and how I could shift just in my own life. So somebody that had that information, you know, people will show up for you when you're asking those questions, and then and then the right information will come in front of you, you know? So I really called that in. And so anyway, so it's like part intuition and part intel. And so what I understand is happening is we're going to something that they may call outwardly, I think they are kind of calling it the quantum financial system, because it is on, there is a quantum governmental site. I could give you the link if you want to post it. And there is language about the quantum financial system, because essentially we're moving into a period where we're going to be operating in quantum systems and quantum computing. It's a word that's thrown around a lot, but it actually, you know, obviously does mean real things. And there are real systems that operate on a quantum level. I work with the Healy. The Healy has a quantum scanner. So there's so many applications for that kind of technology, and the financial tech is just one application. And so as I understand it, and I'm not like always the best at talking about these things, but I'll do my best. As I understand it, it's like a quantum blockchain. So when we move into that system, and as I am told, it's already operating behind the scenes. We just haven't like clicked into it fully publicly. And I think we're going to like probably very soon. It's a system that's not connected to the old fiat system. The fiat system, and I'm not sure if you've talked about this before, how much your audience is aware that the fiat system was something put in place. It really is a slavery system, and the Federal Reserve in America was not federal. It was a private bank. So that was all kind of a Ponzi scheme. But the whole thing that we've been going through kind of in the 3D with the politics and the war or whatever, it's really to shift into the new financial system, because the old system won't be able to access it. So the old, you want to call it the cabal or the controllers or whatever, they're not going to have access to this, because in the way that it's run energetically, it's just a whole different level. And they're cut off from their funding, essentially. So that in itself is just like so huge, because to me, it's like what I've been praying for. It's like, how are we going to end this trafficking and all this crazy stuff going on? Well, like, this is actually the way, because it's a huge wealth transfer. So on a base level, it's a huge wealth transfer. And if you just imagine that, I'll just say it really simple terms, it's like the good guys and the bad guys, because we're in a polarized universe. It's not quite that simple. But if the bad guys don't have control of the financial system anymore, they don't have minions. They can't control things in the same way. They're kind of like powerless. So then you just have humanity, who I would say for the most part, I think all are good. We've gone through so much, you know, crap that like a lot of people maybe did things that were really low vibration, but maybe they were desperate, you know? So if you take that overlay off, then you just have humanity who pretty much all wants everybody to have enough and things to be good. And that's where we're going. So we're just on a base level switching into a system that's going to be more fair. And the whole thing, if you've seen BRICS, because that's kind of how it's showing up in like the media right now. And it's not even much in the Western media or American media, but other countries, it's a big thing. So BRICS, even the languaging they're using, it's all about like kind of like a fair system. So in the way the old system worked, it would hold countries down and kind of bully them and take advantage of them, say like Africa or India or any essentially any country whose currency was super inflated, right? Like if you look at the dollar bills from Vietnam, it's like you could get a $500,000 note. It's like we don't have that in the West because our currency isn't inflated. So that's not fair, obviously, right? Like, that's not cool. So essentially, when we go through this transition into the QFS, we're going to have a reevaluation, and then the money is going to, like, it's all going to be level. So those currencies that were held down by the World Bank, whatever fiat growth systems, are going to, like, pop up, and then it's just going to be more fair. And then, but there's, like, so many things to it, because there's so much abundance, and I believe our natural state is abundance and every level. And there's just so much money that they've hid and taken from us, right? Taxes are illegal, right? There's no law that they can do and the way they've been doing taxes isn't fair. So what I'm told is that we're going to have a 15%, and I don't know if this will be the same for all the countries. For America, we'll have, like, a 15% flat tax on non-essential items. And that's how we'll pay for, like, you know, things we need to pay for. And that will be enough. They've been, like, siphoning so much money off that I think what they're going to do is give a lot of that money back to the people in different ways. And I don't, like, know exactly what that's going to look like, but I'm told that that's all going to come back. So essentially, like, everybody's going to be able to have a house and a car. There isn't going to be that scarcity and that just, like, anxiety about being able to just, like, feed ourselves anymore for everybody. Yeah, so I don't know. Is there anything? I'm like, what else could I touch on about that? Do you have any questions, or are there things that you've
I think that's interesting for people to think about, because I think there's so much fear around that at the moment. And obviously, you know, them bringing in the digital currency. I think, you know, this is what I love to share with you in this chat, is that you've got all these positive solutions that people might not have even considered is possible.
Yeah. So, like, I don't get that I've been told the whole time, and I've always tuned into that the one world digital currency, at least for the last couple of years, I think there was sort of, like, a war going on, but that's not happening. It's not happening. And now you even have people like, I think there's maybe a bill in Congress to, like, not allow the CBDC currency. Trump has come out and said, I will not allow, he's blatantly said, we're not doing that. A lot of people are saying it now. And I think that's to get it out there for people to start wrapping their brains around it so they can get out of the fear mode. Because just because the QFS is digital, a lot of people will be like, well, that's digital. Why isn't it the same? It's not going to be the same, because we're still going to have paper currency. So that's not going away. Yeah.
What do you think about crypto? What role does crypto play in all that?
What I get is that they've been kind of figuring it out. Because the whole shift is for the good of humanity. And yes, I mean, I could talk about what's playing out in the 3D, because there's kind of a movie playing out to wake people up right now. But what's really happening is the shift is good for humanity. So I don't think they want to, like, take people's money that are good people that weren't doing, like, human trafficking. Like, but there was a lot of weird stuff going on with the cryptos. And before maybe, like, 2019, I got, like, to stay away. I just kind of got that it was controlled opposition. But then suddenly in, like, 2019, or I think it was, I kind of got a download to get some of the cryptos, and I did. But then I got a down. I don't, basically, I just kind of tune in and get certain messages. So at this point, what I get is that I don't know if Bitcoin's going to stay around. People are really love their Bitcoin. So this is definitely, a lot of people get really triggered, but I got to let go of mine because I had a dream that it was going to crash. And I think it was started by intelligence programs and stuff. So I get that about that one, and also Ethereum. But I've heard that they are trying to, or have decided maybe to use XRP and XLM and any cryptos that are ISO 20022 compliant. So, like, if you're wondering about a crypto, you can at least look it up and see if it's compliant. And I think there's maybe, like, there's a number that are, but I feel like it's, like, under 10. I know XRP is, XLM is, the other X, whatever one that goes with those, Algo. There's, like, a few. So if I was going to kind of do it logically, I'd be like, well, these are the ones that are compliant with the new financial system, which is ISO 20022. So I get that XRP and XLM are going to be around, because also they have a technology attached to them. Like, XRP is really inexpensive to transfer currencies. And so it can be used for cross-border payments and stuff. And they also just have so many partnerships with so many banks and venues. And also just, you know, for the people that are like, oh, well, they're negative too. I do think they were started out with a negative agenda, but I think a lot of companies and a lot of so many things like that have been taken over by the good during this, I'll just call it a war, through things like that executive, you know, in our country, there's an executive order that Trump did that was basically all the assets can be seized of any company who's doing any kind of like human trafficking or crimes against humanity, which is like so many of the big corporations, right? Maybe all of them. So if you think like, wow, that happened and that's been happening behind the scenes, it's like, it would make sense that if something like an XRP had really good tech that they would be like, okay, we're just going to use it and we're for good now. So I think it's like, that's what I get. Some are going and I think a lot may go away. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I have some XRP. I feel good about XRP. I feel like they want to do a financial crash and that's still part of their plan. But I don't know if they, I feel like because it's the law of predictability, right? And they have to operate in the shadows. They have to operate in a way that can't be seen. So the more that we can predict what they're going to do and the more it looks obvious that they're going to do something, actually that lessens the chances of it happening. So I think the financial crash is too obvious at this point. It's the obvious next step for them to play, which means even if they play it, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't think I just think all the systems have been taken over by the good already. So it's kind of like I think it's important to go inward. Like I ask my pendulum, I'm like, is XRP still a good investment? And I keep getting like, yes, you know? But I do know as far as what you're saying, like, because I know someone working on the behind the scenes on the new financial system, at least in America, the Treasury or the Federal Reserve, which again is not federal, it's kind of like a fake federal thing. They've already been absorbed into the Treasury. So we already aren't operating in the same way anymore. So I just kind of trust knowing that, like, that's real. That they're trying to make the best decisions for humanity, rather than, you know, screw people over. So in that note, it's like maybe they decide to keep Bitcoin even though they weren't going to, because so many people still are invested in it that are doing good things. You know, I don't know. I think this is like a really important time. I mean, I think that's the energy of this time, is to become sovereign. And what that means is really start to ask ourselves and our own soul what's going on, instead of just tracking it outside, because that can be so disorienting and sort of stressful.
Well, that does kind of lead into my next question, because I feel like a definitive part of what we're moving into is redefining our relationship with non-physical beings, and that can be interpreted in so many ways. Maybe we start with, you mentioned a few times about getting downloads. What is your relationship to your guides and how do you framework that?
I language it for myself and my intention that I'm speaking to my soul, like to my higher. I believe we have I believe that we're all on a high level one consciousness, that we all have God spark within us, and that we have like a higher self that's also connected to kind of like the, I don't know, the collective soul in a sense. And so I just asked for guidance from my higher self, from my soul. I think it's, you know, to me kind of the same thing. So that's what I do, because I've always felt like, you know, we're receivers, so we're always receiving, but we can receive from a lot. We can receive telepathically. I might be in a bad mood and get like a bad you know what I mean, receive something that's negative, and I have to like come back to center and be like, does that resonate, does that feel good, is that a lot, you know, is that true? So right, I do it in that way. I grew up really looking a lot into the occult arts and sciences and the different ways that people were doing, and there's a lot of charlatans and there's a lot of like dark magic out there. There's a lot of people vying for the attention that I don't think are very positive. And I feel like I've always been guided to kind of like intellectually maybe study it and then pull back and like not really let that into my field. So I just feel it feels more pure and more clean to kind of like, yeah, just connect with my own being, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Sure. What's your view on interdimensional beings and beings from other beings from other dimensions and their appearance on the
Yeah, I mean, I don't totally know. I mean, I believe that they're there, and I've seen some things. I've had only positive experiences. And I think there's a lot go I think there's a lot going on. And I think it's like we're kind of receivers, and we're like frequency tuners, and it's like, what do we want to tune to, and what is our intention? And I've never had really a negative experience. And even if that, we're like a polarized, we're in a pol we've been in a polarized place. I think we're moving to a not polarized place. That's kind of what the ascension is. But for, we have been in a more polarized space. And that being said, I've never had really any negative experiences, but I've always very much intended to, if I connect with anything, to have it be, of the light. And I've always done a lot of kind of protection and just clearings on my energy field and my house, my space, always not in a fear way, just in like a setting and intention kind of way. But I do, I mean, I love Barbara Marciniak's books. I mean, I resonates very deeply with her, with the Palladians, as they like are channeled through her. I mean, and about this time, right? It's so beautiful. And just thinking what else.
Do you think we're going to actually see with our eyes beings landing, or do you think they'll do Project Blue Beam or?
I don't think Project Bluebeam, like, I don't think the bad guys have power that way anymore. I definitely think we have that tech. I think they've done some weird stuff for the Project Bluebeam, but I don't get that we're gonna have like the big alien fake alien invasion. I think that was like something they maybe thought I wanted to do, but I don't think they're gonna do that anymore or have the power to do that. So I don't know. I can't wait to find out. I think so. I think the veil is lifting, so I think we're gonna see a lot. I mean, I've definitely friends, my boyfriend has seen more kind of stuff recently, from other dimensions. And I know someone, I've been told that our, the alliance or whatever you want to call it, that's working for the good on the good side of the war, is working with other beings, and that some of the beings are ourselves from the future. So I'm just wondering if we're going to find out. It's a little different than we thought. Like, maybe because we don't even know what space is. Do you know what I mean? I don't know where you're all at, but I've been going through the revelations about the moon. I think the moon is plasma. The moon isn't what we thought it was. And what if there's a firmament, if we're in a, not on a round earth, but more, right now I'm like, I think we're on more of a flat earth at the top, but it's like a toroidal field. So if we're, just like, yeah, so it's like what's even going on? So I just feel like I don't want to assume that I know. I really don't. But I know what I like hope it's going to be like, and I do feel like there are beings around us. I do feel like there are angels, and different energies that and probably I just feel like maybe a lot of them have been misidentified too, or this, it's like there's we're seeing them through everybody's different eyes too. So I feel like we're gonna find out. I do feel like through this portal, part of it is the veil's going, and we're gonna get a lot of answers to these questions more clearly. I do think that.
I love that Dolores says you have to bend your mind like a pretzel, because that's really what it is right now.
Yes, totally. I love her. Yeah, exactly. Like I think that's what I'm good at too. I'm good at just being like, okay, I'm open. Show me the truth. I'm very open to the mystery of things. I love grew up watching The X-Files and like The Twilight Zone. I've always just had that mind that like, I want the truth. So if it changes, I'm okay with that. I'm okay not knowing, not knowing everything. I don't know everything.
Do you think there's land beyond Antarctica?
Oh, I totally do. Yes, I totally do. I think that's so exciting to me right now. It just makes so much sense. I mean, have you seen that there? It, essentially, if you look at the moon, there's like a reflection of the Earth on the moon. It looks like potentially there was like an X-ray flare or something, and it burned the images of the land masses onto as an image onto the moon, because it like exactly matches up with the map. But then there's the lands beyond that show up on there. Like if you do an overlay, You see the land masses that we know, but then you can see the outer lands. So it's like fascinating. So I would encourage anybody to get the moon, an image of the moon, and like do that yourself. Look at that. It's fascinating. So that seems to show that it's true. And when I tune in, yeah, I get that it's true. And I think we're going to find out and get to I eventually explore them. That's what I think. Yeah.
This is like everyone's saying this is going to be such a crazy year, Pluto moving into Aquarius and all the elections coming up. How do you feel about 2024?
I think it's going to be just wild. I mean, I feel like, I mean, I'm just really excited because again, like I have such a positive outlook. I only through my intuition and my visions have gotten like it's positive. It's positive. Really good things are coming. We're going into a golden age. And I think we also kind of get to choose that maybe there's a little bit different timelines. And so I think it's really important to, especially at this time, to really focus on what we want to see and what we want to visualize, because we're still creating it too. It's like things aren't totally set. So, but I think, you know, I get that it's like, you know, in the Dolores Cannon, how the new earth kind of separates. It's like, I think we're kind of at that place and people are sort of choosing how they want to experience the next couple of years by where they're putting their focus. And so, and even like with COVID, like some people had, you know, went inward and had a pretty expansive time during that time. And other people did have an experience of hell, you know, it's kind of like, where's our frequencies?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, what I see for you, I know that you're kind of looking where I'm like, I mean, I see that I think we're going to go through, like, I think the apocalypse is the word actually means like the unveiling and the revealing. So I think we're going to like get answers to a lot of our questions, a lot of the things we've been really wanting people to know for so long, because it's so uncomfortable to just know it and, you know, watch everybody operating as though it's not true. Like, that stuff's going to come out. And I think I still think there's not going to be an election in the US. I think like the tower card's going to happen and like the financial shift, and there's going to be a big reveal. I still get that. So, so if that happens, I mean, that's huge. I think something huge is going to happen. That's going to really, really shift things and cause people that haven't been wanting to pay attention and kind of decide what they want to do with the information that's coming through, you know?
How do you feel about Robert Kennedy?
I think he's really beautiful. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think that I try not to put people on pedestals because I think they're all humans. I get that he's playing a positive role. I get that his heart is in the right place. I do feel that. Yeah. And I think he's sharing so much truth. Obviously, he has spoken out about the health system, you know, was doing a lot before this. You know, maybe he was kind of in some murky stuff when he was younger, but like kind of, you know, haven't we all? I think he's you know, I know he's in, I know he's sober. I know he's goes to AA meetings and stuff. So he obviously had a period where he was like an addict. So yeah, I get that he's working for the good. I don't get that he's going to be like the president, but I feel like he's part of this whole energy happening right now to wake people up and also to unify. Because what's so beautiful about him, what I really like, is that he doesn't talk badly about other people, and he really he doesn't talk badly about Trump. He's basically like, we shouldn't be, you know, he kind of rises above all that stuff. And that's so important, especially because a lot of the people he's been speaking to have been, I think, more on a, you know, if we're going to go political, kind of left-leaning side, which has really had a heavy message of like division. So I think it's so important what he's doing. So yeah, I think it's great.
And yeah. What's your view on Trump? How do you see him?
I think he's working for the good too. And yeah, he's so controversial because he was so hated on by the media, but now people are seeing that the media is full of crap, right? So it's like, what's really going on? I started to wonder about him after he got elected the first time, because I just assumed he was like controlled opposition, because I had zero faith in any politics in any way. I'd already opted out of it. I was like, I don't vote. I don't do that. I don't give it energy. I don't give it attention. I think it's a scam. But then I started noticing like that he, you know, early on he did talk about appointing RFK to a panel for, I don't know if I can say the word for the, you know, things. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. And then I noticed he was putting energy towards the trafficking, which I still even from I was like, well, he might be saying that, but is he really doing it? I just really started to look at what he was doing. And he was actually doing a lot of positive things. They weren't getting any media attention. And then I asked the person I know who's working on the scenes on the news behind the scenes on the news systems what he thought. And it really surprised me what he said, because, you know, it was that he's actually working for the good. And so I really wanted to know. So when I really want to know something like that, I'll usually like have it, something will come through or I'll have a dream. So I had a couple dreams. And I don't have dreams about like really famous people or political figures like ever. So I know that it was like, I think it was my soul, you know, giving me information. And I kind of got that. Yeah, he's a human. It's part of his path to play this role. And yeah, maybe like if I'm thinking about him like hanging out with him like a friend, that's like maybe he's that guy friend that I'm like, yeah, I love you, but I don't want I'm not gonna introduce you to any of my girlfriends. You can't date my friends. You know what I mean? Like that guy, like maybe he has some yucky things in his past and there's some stuff there, but it wasn't like it doesn't feel like dark. It doesn't feel like the dark stuff that we know is happening with a lot of these figures, right? Like I won't go into that, but you know, I don't get that. So I get that he's part of that. And then also like just from a intel sort of side, what it looks like is happening is that he was invited by the military to play that role. Apparently they wanted to take Obama out right away when they found out what he was really doing, but they thought it would create such a disturbance for culture because people weren't awake yet that they didn't want to do that. And instead he came up and started to play the role he was playing so that they could do come more of a long game plan to take, I guess the country back, right? Or the world back. So knowing that, I started paying attention to things like in 2017, when he was traveling around the world doing the Abraham Accords. And it definitely seems like that's very real, and that he was doing making kind of peace treaties with all these different countries, going to world leaders and basically offering them either a part in the new system, like to capitulate, like kind of saying like, we know what you've been doing. We have all this dossier on you. Are you going to be with us or against us? You know, and if they didn't join, then that they would be not have a place in the new system, or at worst, maybe have a military tribunal or something. I don't know. I think it's pretty serious what's been going on behind the scenes. And of course that stuff hasn't been in the media. So I think that he's been working on that and the new financial system. And yeah, I get, that's what I get. I don't, yeah.
There has been lots of arrests behind the scenes.
I'm told, yes, many. Many, many, many. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of the people that we see aren't the people anymore. Like that they're using hologram technology. They're using masks. I don't know if you guys have seen that video that was released. It's almost like a little, I feel like somebody put this out for us to see it, you know, purposely. There's like a little documentary going around that was the CIA's program on masks, how the person that made these really amazing masks so that they could go into, you know, they look real. So there's that, and who knows what else, probably other ways to.
I've seen so many videos where you can see it peeling away at the neck.
Yeah, and totally. I know there's one of Elon Musk. There's like a lot of Biden. And I think they're doing that on purpose. I think that's part of the show is they're like, you guys, like they're starting to peel back. It's like the Wizard of Oz, you know, it's like they're starting to peel back their curtain a little bit so that so it's not so harsh when they find out what's been going on.
So who do you think is controlling Biden? Do you think the good people are already in control?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah, I do, because because supposedly I think almost all of our elections have been fraudulent, but I think that they captured all the information for that last one so that they'll be able to show it to us like in a sort of like that they've already had legal procedures around proving it, and that they're going to, I think we'll see that eventually. Yeah. It's so wild, right? So it's hard to, it's really hard to believe. I mean, but you've been kind of paying attention to all the weirdness the whole time. It's like very logical. Like I could, you know, there are people that have pulled all these documents together about the military operations I'm talking about, and they're available. So I just want to say that too, if anybody really wants to look into it, it's all there. Yeah.
Well, I think once you realize how much they lie about, that they're literally lying about everything, then suddenly everything becomes possible, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about the lengths of the lies. I mean, literally where we are, who we are, where we are, the food. I mean, it's kind of like mind blowing. I mean, we're the lucky ones that have been like on a path of realizing this for maybe decades so that it's not so shocking, but yeah, it's everything has been a lie. So it's like I see it this way. It's like there's the negative psyops that have been being played, and now it's almost like we're going through this period of like, if you could say it, like positive psyops, you know, to like break us out of the spell a little bit, you know.
Amazing. Maybe just finish, because you know we feel like it is going to be bumpy still for at least a year, a few years. I feel it's going to be bumpy. So what would be your best pieces of advice to people to help keep them anchored and positive, solution oriented in this time?
I don't think it has to be bumpy. I'm going to say that. I think it's where we're oriented, and if you're attached to the systems that are crumbling or not. So like, if it might be bumpy if you're really sad that the hospitals change or the school system changes or goes away. It's like, how attached to the old systems are you, or how much are you stepping into sovereignty and going like, we'll be fine, we got this, we'll, you know, I'm going to look to my family and my neighborhood or make new systems. I think that's the thing. If we're in that mode of creating the new, I don't think it even has to be that bumpy, because the bumpy part is like the show playing out. And this is what I've always gotten, and I got in my vision. It's like, if we turn away from that, it's not there. It's like a hologram too. It's like an illusion that's like sucked us in and try to suck our life source away. So if at any time, I think if you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed by that, or like it's too crazy, just like, I don't think it means you don't care if you turn off the TV. Do you know what I mean? I think like, opt out of the information. If it's pulling on you in a negative way, you feel like it's a negative timeline pulling on you, a negative energy, it's sucking you, then just go inward and ask what you need to like to replenish. You know, it's for me, it's like simple. It's like, go be in nature, go to the ocean, go on a walk, hug a tree, go be with the trees, meditate, dance, listen to music, like the simple things, and just like to put the phone away. I did that a lot during COVID. I just like put the phone, I was like, these are so many negative frequencies out there. I just would not look at my phone at all for long periods of time. So I think that's huge. Just if you're feeling that it's crazy, then just tune into something that you know is true and is gonna be nourishing.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Where's the best place to people to find you, and what have you got? Have you got anything coming up that you want to share?
Yeah, thank you. Our website is mercado-sagrado.com. It's the sacred market in Spanish. And then we're on Instagram, Mercado Sagrado, all one word. My Telegram, I don't know how to tell you that, but I can link it. And we have it's really exciting because it's been a really wonky few years because of some of the locations we use that are national parks and stuff, but we're getting back on track. So we're doing our annual fair, which is like our flagship event. We're doing that. I believe it's going to be November 9th and 10th, and in the Santa Monica Mountains. So that's really exciting. And hopefully you can come. Maybe you can take part.
Maybe I should come for my birthday.
You should come. Kate's our friend Kate. We have a friend in common. I think she's going to photograph it. So if you come to that, and then we're going to do a smaller thing, kind of like a handful of makers, music, a chef. It'll be like a spring kind of party. We're doing that May 18th and 19th, and that's going to be along the coast in Malibu. So that's going to be fun too. And then we'll see what else comes up. We have other things that we're planning too, but those are the two kind of penciled in ones solid for now. And I'll be sharing about them on our email list and on Instagram and whatever.
You do a lot of interviews as well. You interview a lady called Honey a lot. Where are they on YouTube, those videos?
Yes. I just started. I've been really kind of shy. I've kind of started during this last few years. It's kind of propelled me to get over my fear of public speaking and just because I am obviously very opinionated to share my own thoughts more. So I started a YouTube and a Rumble, and I can share the links with you. And I'm just interviewing conversations with people like yourself, just expanders and visionaries and intuitives. I love Honey. She's such a soul sister. So we've been doing a lot together. She's an amazing seer. And yeah, I've been getting like 5 videos so far, but I'm gonna keep that going. So yeah, maybe we'll have to have you on there and talk on there sometimes.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been such a joy.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for being here, everybody.